from our consecration weekend, where basically biannually we take time as a church group to come together and consecrate ourselves as we pray and fast. So with that, I want to share more as we're going to continue and just praying for the nations this morning and what God is doing. And it was very exciting and building of faith just to be there and seeing what God is doing. In Africa is one of the youngest populations in the world, with an average age of 19, I think they said. And the theme that we're seeing is how Africa is going back to the Western nations to preach and bring the good news. Where other nations previously brought the good news to Africa, it's turning around, where a lot of churches are being planted through Africa, in Europe and in other Western nations. And we just feel there's a move of God in this time, that in the next 25 years that would just accelerate. And it's really exciting times for us to be part of. And for us as a movement as well, God has been moving in different ways. There's 12 church plants currently happening in the movement that I'll take us through a little bit. But I think it's an opportunity for us to lean in and partner with God in this. A while ago, I preached on clean hands and pure hearts. And the one part was just that we can take God's desires for the nation, and make that us our own. And I'm going to go through a few scriptures. I'm not going to be long this morning. And then we're going to turn into groups, turn to each other in groups of four. And we're going to pray together for a few things and then continue worshiping. So it's just amazing to see how through all of Scripture, God's plan from the start was to draw in the nations, Jews and Gentiles. And if we look at Isaiah 56, verse 7. These I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. That's the verse that Jesus quoted when he flipped the tables and said, my house should be called a house of prayers. And when it says in the beginning there, these I will bring, earlier in that chapter it refers to eunuchs and Gentiles that God already predicts that they prophesy to an extent that they will be saved, and that non-Jews would become part of God's fold. And here we see that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Jesus in Matthew 28, the Great Commission that many of us know well, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That was some of the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and encouragement for us and almost the purpose of a church to live this out in the years to come. There's great things that God has done in us, in restoring us and building us up. But then that doesn't lead to us just living our lives for ourselves, but living outward focused lives. After we lay down our idols and come to Him with clean hands, it's not just about staying pure, but then going out and sharing the good news to others so that others might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is what Jesus said then. And at the end of time in Revelations, we see there the church singing, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. It's beautiful to see that at the end of time, when Jesus is honored for his sacrificial life that he laid down in being the one to open the scrolls, God's redemptive plans, that it says that you ransom people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And in heaven present would be all the peoples from every tribe, people, and nation. And our work now as a church, a global church, is to bring that into fruition. That's part of our mandate and what we're called to as a local church, but also as a global church. And that is what we'll be praying into this morning as well. As Shofar, for those who aren't new to Shofar, our vision is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And that's a theme that we stood still on over the weekend and that we'll be praying through this morning. But to reach nations and generations. Nations, if we, from our own congregation, we're sending teams to Burundi. Currently, we've planted a church there. Diaby and them are going to plant the church in Luxembourg. And the church, as Shofar, is also looking at planting churches in the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand, and praying for that, and amongst others. And generations, just looking at, we're a relatively young church, but as medicine and all those things improve, people are getting older, and there's bigger populations of older people, and that in some cases tend to be unreached, uncatered for. And there's a big move just to reach those people as well, that many times can be isolated because of age or just it becoming almost unreached people groups to an extent. And also for us as a church to start reaching out to them, but also obviously to the younger generation. Africa as a continent is is a lot of young people to be reached, and our mandate is also for them. And then through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. Disciple-making is not part of something that we do, but it's part of our identity. And the Great Commission, in that sense, is also not just something for us to go out and do, but something that becomes part of our identity, that flows out of our identity and who we are. I do feel that in our own restoration and our own lives, it will only become fully complete as we accept that identity of Christ to reach out to others. And leadership development, as churches are planted, and it's not only churches, businesses, as society, as the gospel goes into different places in the world, many times churches isn't the easiest platform to go in with. So whether it's business or other spheres of society, political or economical, we need leaders that would step up in that place and follow the lead of God in that. So for us as a church movement, that would be a big thing. And then obviously church planting, creating local communities where people gather. And that's so beautiful for me in a micro sense of what we do with small groups. A small group is like a small church in a sense, a small community. That's where the people gather. And when we speak about church planting, it would mean more church, more small groups all over the city. So I want you to start expanding your tent pens in that sense for the season to come, to start thinking of, how will we reach the rest of Cape Town? I think we spoke earlier this morning, me and Nordia just about, and James, about the City Bowl. If you think there's many churches in the City Bowl already, but there's many unchurched, unbelieving, unreached people in the City Bowl. There's need for more churches, more communities, even here, even though we're already one of many churches in the City Bowl. And there's people to be reached. if we if we look at some of the church plants that I've mentioned earlier, that's in happening right now. 12 of them, one in Namibia. The church is called Shofar DRC, but it's for, I think, a DRC community in Namibia. Grootbrak, they're doing a church plant there. Gansbaai, it's a new one. Then Shofar New Zealand, that's in Auckland, I think, where they're planting that one. In Shofar Kitega, obviously, where our team is busy going to support there, with Teacher and Udenay. Shofar Guildford in the UK, Shofar Luxembourg, where our team was, and going there again. And then closer by in Cape Town, Shofar Musenberg, Pastor Craig and them planting there. That's been something that has been birthed over the years. And I think even from those who know Werner, in his time already putting out his faith for a church plant there, and that's happening. In Germany, I don't know how to pronounce that, Radolfzell, that's probably wrong, but they're planting there. And then in Mozambique, Chandame Mission Station, there's a mission outreach station there. And then also in the Netherlands, in Nijmegen, Alroy? Nijmegen, okay. But yeah, that's where, in, I understand where Germany meets the Netherlands. They're praying about a plant there, and then in Zimbabwe. And it was really encouraging to see many of these normal people stepping up to what God is calling them to go plant churches. And it's really exciting what God is doing, and there's other places where God is also stirring. And if any of you feel led to join any of these church plants, do reach out. And over the years, we're really excited about sending, and we're all part of building God's kingdom in different ways, whether it's through business or education or political. All these spheres come together. So even when looking at planting churches in the U.S., for instance, would require, it's difficult to pay for those church plants with rent, so it would require creative ways to go to those sites. The same with Luxembourg, for instance. So that we really put out our faith collectively to see how we can expand God's kingdom. And yes, it's not only through church plants, but I think the main thing is that we're all called to be part of a body in some way, and to trust God for how, wherever you are, how are you going to play out in that role, whether it's through your occupation, whatever you have in your hands, for us to pray through that and ask God to stir that in our hearts. Because it's always amazing. For instance, when one goes on missions and you get so excited about what God is doing, and suddenly all your other problems start becoming smaller for that period of time. And I feel as we just focus more on what God is doing, there's definitely going to be challenges, storms like Ross preached about, as we step out. But for us to embrace that, because in following Jesus, that's where we really flourish. So with that, the band will be playing in the background, but we have a few prayer points up there. And I want us just to gather about three or four people, maybe not more than that. And then we're just going to take time to pray through each of these points. And after that, we're going to watch a short video before that, we'll watch a short video from Heinrich as well about the weekend. But then we'll just pray through this, and we'll take time just to acknowledge. This is almost a prophetic act in the same sense of us just acknowledging what God is doing and just taking it upon ourselves and asking Him for Him to come and give His heart to us relating to all of us. So in groups of four, maybe you can sit closer to someone, maybe three or four, just gather together. So, before everyone has a group, who isn't in a group, not too much more than four, otherwise not everyone will have a time, but we're going to have these 4 points, we're going to pray for each one, about 5 minutes, but first we're just going to watch the last video from Heinrich, and then we're going to pray through it. 5 minutes on each of those points. If you have any images or anything, please either send it to me or to someone that can send it to me so that we can just properly note that. So with that, let's start with the first one, and then every 5 minutes we'll just switch to the next one. Yeah, Father, we thank you for families, Father. We thank you just for sanctified families, Father. Thank you just where there are burdens on families, Father, that causes pressure. We thank you just for trust in you as they get sanctified and consecrated, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah, that you call us. Yeah, we just keep our eyes closed and focus on him. Thank you, Father. That when you call us to holiness, Lord, it's not a standard, Father. It's something that you say, be holy as I'm holy, Lord, and that you enable us, Lord. You make it possible to be holy. You would not command us something that we're not able to attain, Father, or live in. So thank you that you call us to holiness. Thank you that we can see you. That those who are that are holy would see you, Lord. That the Hebrews say that apart from holiness, you cannot see God. And Father, our desire is to see you all the more, Lord. All the more, Lord, to see you all the more, Lord. I just had an image on the weekend of Christ, if you can see this, but Christ walking, and the clothing he's wearing is so white, so very white. It's almost like it brightens. It's much brighter than the sun. It is so filled with glory and purity that Christ is walking in that white clothing, and it is the most purest and glorious and outshining thing you have ever seen, or person you've ever seen. It's just 1,000 sunsets and 1,000 sunrises, and it's so very pure, Lord. You are so very pure in all your motives and all your ways, Christ. And I pray for that you gave me a scripture that you cleanse us, and that we're part of you now. We have part of you because of that cleansing. We have part of that purity, Lord. What a joy, Lord. What an honor, Lord, to have part of that purity, Lord. So thank you that you work it in our hearts. That, and also while we were praying now, Lord, set apart, consecrate it. But you don't consecrate with nothing in mind, Father. You consecrate for a purpose. Like when we set apart a plate or a thing, it's for a purpose, Lord. It's to pour water into it or to use it. Thank you that you consecrate us. Even families, I had a sense that the whole family, you consecrate the whole family for a holy purpose, Lord. For a holy purpose, Lord. For your purposes, your will. I pray that as we give ourselves as living sacrifice, you would use us all the more. Use our mouths, use our hearts, use our bodies, Lord. Use us, Lord, all of us, for your purposes, Lord. You are holy, and I pray that we would be holy as you are holy and not shy away from holiness. But you are drawing us in, and may we come close to that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just felt, as Steph was speaking, that one of the purposes of consecration was an unbroken fellowship with God, and how important that is. I just felt that, like in the scripture Isaiah, it says, "In righteousness you will be established, and the oppressor will be far from you, and tyranny will be far from you." And this thing of being consecrated comes with an unbroken fellowship, like when Adam was in the garden, walking and talking with God. Not this going to work, forgetting about God, coming home. It's a continual consecration of unbridled fellowship with the Lord, and it's He is our great reward.
Amen. We thank you just for that, Father. Just receive that, Lord. Just as we pray into our next point, that the church in Africa will take a rightful place in discipling the nations. God is raising up the church in Africa, and let's just pray into that for the church in Africa.
Thank you so much, Father, for what you are doing in this continent, Lord God, and thank you that we can be a part of it. I'm just reminded of what Heinrich shared this weekend as well, of some of the research that's been done that suggests in the next 25 years that Africa could become the breadbasket for the gospel to be shared to the world. And we just say to this continent, prophetically, that we will step into that. And thank you, Father, that this continent will be a breadbasket to the nations of the world, Lord God. And we call your children out here, Father God. We thank you that you are laying visions in hearts, that you are releasing resources, that you are opening doors to go, Lord God. And thank you that, as a congregation here in Cape Town, that we can be a part of that, Lord God. Thank you for what you've called Diabi and his family to, Lord God, and thank you for their obedience, and thank you for your prophetic significance of that church plant in Luxembourg, Father God, and may it be the start of many more, Lord God. May it be the start of many more, and may we see a beautiful revival in the nations because of obedience of people in this continent, Lord God. We thank you in faith for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. If we move on to the next point, is just praying for pioneering teams for the USA, Canada, New Zealand, and even trusting the Lord just for images or words of knowledge as you pray into that. In the US, it's, I think, Virginia Beach, and I can't remember, Canada and New Zealand is Auckland. But let's just pray for provision and God's guidance in that.
Hearts will cry, these bones will sing and pray.
Father, we thank you just for those teams that you are sending and laying it on our hearts, Father. We thank you just for that conviction of your spirit, Father, of who needs to go, Father. We thank you just for provision and employment and visas, Father. We thank you just for their family relationships, Father. Thank you just for wisdom for those who are staying behind, Father. We thank you just for that, Lord. Thank you, just as you raise them up, Lord, that you would guide them, Father. We praise you for that, Lord. And then, last point is that all generations to be reached and activated in our congregations, those who are older and those who are younger, so let's just pray into that.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, for the generations that you have placed in our churches, Lord. We come and just petition you, Lord, that you will activate them, Lord, from the youth, from the kids, from the youth to the even the silver surfers, Lord, we thank you, God, that they can be activated and to be also to be reached, Lord, for those that are in all of our congregations across the movement of Shofar. We thank you, God, that we can call them out into to the positions that you've called them to, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can we just pray for an activation of their spirits and of their hearts to follow 100% after you. And in Jesus' name.
Amen, Father. We thank you just for reconciliation between different generations, Father. We thank you for hearts of fathers to turn to sons and sons to the hearts of fathers. We thank you just where there's unforgiveness, Father, for that to be brought to the light, Father, and for reconciliation to happen, Father. We thank you just for boldness and courage for those first steps, Father. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So on Tuesday mornings, we also pray. So just on 6 o'clock, right here, actually, we have heaters. So you're welcome to join for that. I mean, now in I don't know about you, but it was quite. You can feel just how uplifting it is, just as we get together and pray through these things. And the Burundi team let us know that they got through with their visas this morning. So thanks for praying. Praise God. There was actually a bit uncertainty of whether they would get through. So, yeah, that's amazing. So, I think we're going to close with communion. And I know for many of us, there's things that might have been stirred. And I want to encourage you to keep on praying through that and join for intercession, just to come and labor and pray with others. Through that as well. But let's just do a song of worship, and then the teams doing the communion can get that ready. So, worship team.